Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely, when you think about the fact that we already have had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
Captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where unfortunately we still have 920 days, 4 hours, 56 long, just disgusting minutes, and 11 just absolute nauseating seconds left of this godforsaken Obama nightmare. And then we got to get to work. But until then, we must remain dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. Now, remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, we have got a lot to talk about tonight. And you know me, I never shut up. But there, it's almost too much to talk. Actually, it's not almost. It is. It's too much to talk about tonight. Absolutely ridiculous if we have to talk about all this stuff that's going on in this country. None of this stuff should be happening. This is what really pisses me off. I have no patience for things that I should not have patience for. Nobody should have patience for things that you shouldn't have patience for. And following the Constitution? No, I don't have any patience for our government not following the Constitution. None. Zero. I won't give any patience. I won't even go out of my way to even look for any patience or tolerance. It's not there, and it never will be. Well, we've got so much to talk about tonight. I mean, everything from Israel telling Kerry to stick it. We're going to defend our country. I mean, can you blame him? I mean, who the hell is John Kerry to tell Israel, don't be sending any rockets over there. Don't upset the terrorists now. We got to be worried about these civilians. Don't even get me started. Well, we're going to get started tonight. We got everything. Bergdahl now is going back to active duty. A vet finally gets his wheelchair. Scores of lifeless bodies are floating on the banks of the Rio Grande. And our president wants to play pool. Well, you want to be a part of the program tonight. 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room, and you know that I'm terrible with the chat room. I'm going to try like I always do, but I always fail. But I at least try. I just get going on stuff, and I just can't get into the chat room. But that chat room is for you. And you know it as well as I do, as long as there's one stinking liberal on planet Earth, it's a very, very, very busy news day. And there seems to be just this ever-growing number of people that are desperate to take away your freedom. So in order to combat that, we've got to lift our jib and get this freedom ship underway. All right, there we are. We're officially underway and headed out to sea. Close to makeshift colors. All right, now, before we get into the scuttlebutt of the day, just about everything's a scuttlebutt of the day. Mary Cal from CSA, that's Conservative Society for Action, will join us later, maybe this week, maybe early part of next week, and I know she was supposed to go last week, but there was a lot of stuff going on. I had a lot of stuff going on. She had a lot of stuff going on, but we're eventually going to meet up again. She's an expert on Common Core. She does speeches all over the country. And she's going to come on here. She's a good friend of mine. I met her through another good friend of mine. That's all right. So hopefully, we're going to get her in. Don't worry. There's plenty of stuff to talk about, plenty of stuff going on. We're going to get her in here. Common Core ain't going away, unfortunately. It's people like her and people like you and people like me, people like concerned parents, people like, well, smart teachers, which I know that's an oxymoron today. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take the American people to say, no, we don't want this. But too many people are too lazy. Oh, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to upset anybody. Oh. What the hell's the point of living then? I mean, if you don't want to be you, you don't want to live your own life. What the hell's the point? Go chop your head off. Give it to somebody who's got brain cancer. Maybe they can take your brain out and give it to somebody who will appreciate it, who will use it, respect it. Illegal immigrants now. This is the scuttlebutt of the day. It's all about the border. I can't leave this border alone. What the hell's going on? This border, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And most of it's coming from this government. I mean, these people crossing the border illegally, yeah, that's one problem. But all the other problems connected to it are coming from this government. And they're not inclined to do any kind of slowing down. And then we got John Boehner, who wants to take the president for what? Oh, that's right. He changed the Defense of Marriage Act. That's what you want to sue the president for? The Defense of Marriage Act? Okay, fine. It went against the law. All right. Okay. However, if you want to sue this president, there are endless things to sue the president on when it comes to Benghazi. God only knows how many there are with Fast and Furious. And I don't even think God knows how many things are going wrong with the IRS could be sued over. He should lose his job. What he did with Benghazi, he should go to jail. That would be the perfect vacuum. The commander-in-chief, head of all military, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, even that stupid short pants Coast Guard. I know we need the Coast Guard, but I'm a Navy man, and, you know, I mean, Coast Guard is like, you know, short pants sailors is what we call them. We still need them. I still give them respect. I'm just going to hack on them a little bit. It's fun rubbing. It's not discrimination. They rub on us. I mean, the stuff, the Marines and the Army and everybody talks about the Navy. Actually, sailors talk about the Navy, too, so it really doesn't matter. But the point is, we've got to get back on track here. Stay focused already, will you? This is what happens with liberals. This is what happens. Your brain just turns to mush, and you blast off into Deep Space Nine. God almighty. But these immigrants now are forcibly occupying small Texas towns. They've got one town now. The Texas border crisis has gone now from bad to absolute ridiculous. Overnight. They got a well-organized Hispanic militia, which is La Raza. Anybody ever hear of La Raza? That's right, they're a militant group. And they are dedicated to getting all Hispanics into America and take over the country. That is their mission. That is their goal. And with this president, they're succeeding. Well, we have La Raza. It's a group of activists. They want to have the whole Hispanic community rule the United States. And why is it? Why does every ethnic group have to have total control? I don't understand that. But they do. We're America. We come in every race. So we don't have that. Unfortunately, people want to play that game. People want to blame people for playing that game when they're not playing it. But this La Raza, we have this La Raza in our own government. Obama just, I mean, this guy, anything that can break down and tear down America, this man's going to do. Now he just gave a woman a four-star, made her a four-star admiral. Okay, fine. I don't have a problem with that. But the woman is in charge of all these aircraft. She has no idea how to fly a plane. She has no idea about aircraft, period. And yet she's going to be head of all these fighter jets and all this crap? I mean, that's ridiculous. This president, I mean, first of all, generals and admirals, they are not political appointees. And all these political appointees, I mean, your Homeland Security Secretary, this guy knows nothing about Homeland Security. Why is he there? Well, political appointees, they don't have to be an expert in their field. Oh, just be in charge. Just go out there and give a speech. Just be in charge. No. We want people that are competent. People that know what the hell they're doing. I mean, who was that dingbat? What the hell's her name? Oh, Kat Sebelius. I forgot her name already. Haven't heard from her in a long time. Why was she Homeland Security? I mean, Health and Human Services. What does she know? She barely knows how to pop an aspirin. Why? And then you had that, who was Homeland Security before, the Napolitano? Oh, that's right, she was governor of Arizona. Oh, that makes her qualified. Well, this La Raza, getting back to the scuttlebutt of the day, these are bad dudes. These are militant people. And Obama has them, they've been infiltrated into our government. They're making decisions, making policies, forcing people to do what they want. Well, this is America. You do what we want. That's how it works. Well, I'm not going to get into too much La Raza. I had a bunch of stuff on him a long time ago. I got into him a little, it was a couple of months ago. But we'll get back into them again. I'm trying to find an expert on La Raza to really give us an in-depth look of who these people really are. Basically, what they are is they're Al-Qaeda for Hispanics. Well, now they've taken over a border town, literally taken over. Sarita is a quiet community residing 90 miles west of the Gulf of Mexico. The city limits stretch for 2 miles along U.S. Route 77. and ending just before Kingsville. The 2010 U.S. Census states that this town has 284 residents. Sarita, Texas has been recognized in the past for its leftist views. Oh, wait a minute now. Uh-oh, we've got some irony. Look at that. Gotta turn Texas blue. Gotta bring those immigrants in. Gotta bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. Yeah, you can bring them in as long as they don't come into my town. Well, they are coming into your town. Well, these residents don't like it. They were pointed. They were taken out of their homes, middle of the night. But I think it was after midnight. At gunpoint, and they forced them out in the street and walked them down all the way to the end of town. They took over their homes. They're now living in their homes. These people are gone. They got to go live with relatives. Where's our government? Where's the law enforcement? Where's anybody? Where's the frickin' Cub Scouts? Huh? Where are they? Well, I guess they're playing pool with the president. But these people are coming in and taking over, just like what ISIS is doing over there in Iraq. They're coming into your home, holding a gun to your head. People have gone missing. They don't know where they are. They suspect they've been murdered by these people. Some of these people have gone to live with relatives. Some of them, they just don't know where they are. Where are they? I don't know. More than likely, they're dead. And these are the people that Obama wants to bring into this country, allowing to bring into this country. And now he wants another $3.7 billion. $3.7 billion, not million, but billion. And less than 2% of that, less than 2% of that is going to go to border security. So where's the rest of it going? Well, we've got to house these kids, and got to give them food and Medicare, and got to give them this and give them that. The list goes on and on and on. $3.7 billion. Well, it shouldn't cost that much to load a couple of planes up and send these people back. It's not going to cost no $3.7 billion. It's not even going to cost a million. And what are you going to do with that money? Well, people got to get bonuses. We got to hire more people to take care of more people. So in other words, the government's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. This is their point. This is what they want. They want government and peasants. You're either a peasant, government official, and that's it. The government, they get all the nice stuff. They get all the good stuff. They can drive the cars and have the swimming pools. They can go on vacation. They can play pool. They can have cheeseburgers. But you, the peasant, no. You can't have anything until we give it to you. And you will like it. Well, no, I will not like it. And I will not take anything that you give me. Well, I don't know what the hell to do with this town. I guess we're going to have to get some more militia groups out there to bring these people, kick these people out. Why don't we have the military? That's what I'd like to know. I mean, this is a job for the military. People coming into your home, taking over your home, forcing you out of your home. These people are living with the relatives or on the street, wherever. I almost kind of don't feel sorry for these people, though. I mean, after all, I mean, they voted for this crap. They voted for this crap. I don't feel sorry for liberals. See, again, liberals love liberalism until it affects them. And then, whoa, wait a minute, now we've got to do something. Well, wait a minute, where were you before? Oh, that's right, it didn't affect you. So it didn't matter. But you voted for it. Well, now that it's affecting you, and now you got a problem? Well, you know, if you're going to vote for something, you got to at least make sure you know what the hell you're voting for before you vote for it. But these people don't. All they see is a D on the end of the name. And that's it. As long as you got a D at the end of your name, you're all right. Well, we'll see if the president will send anybody down there to save this town. Do you think the media is going to talk about it? Hell no. Hell no. You're not going to see this on the news. But this stuff is real. You don't believe me? Well, then take a trip down to Sarita, Texas. Take a trip down there. Got dead bodies floating at the banks of the Rio Grande now? Lifeless bodies of these children? These are dead. These are children. Mr. President, for God's sakes, man. Do you not know what the hell it is that you are doing? Do you not have any conscience at all? I mean, do you think before you do this stuff? I mean, doesn't it bother you that these kids are coming over here on a false hope and dying in the river Rio Grande because they can't swim? Trying to make it to a land where they think they're going to be free when they're not? The only reason why they're coming over here is to simply be a Democrat voter, and that is it. That is the only frickin' reason. Well, a Fox News exclusive reported this morning by Jana Winter, and you're not going to hear this on the news either. You think Brian Williams is going to cover this? Dead kids on the bank of the Rio Grande? Hell no. Think Scott Pelley's going to talk about this town in Sarita, Texas? Being taken over by militants? Illegal immigrant militants? La Raza? Hell no, they're not going to talk about that. That would make this whole immigration mess look bad. We got to be able to make it look like it's the Republicans doing this. We can't make it look like it's us. So any kind of bad press, we're not going to report it. Well, the story's out there. You don't have to report it if you don't want to, Mr. Media Man. But more and more people today aren't watching the news. They're not getting the news from the news, so why the hell watch it? They're listening to talk radio. They're listening to blog talk radio. They're on websites like Drudge, Heritage Foundation, all kinds of stuff. You can find news out there. You just got to look for it. But you can't find any news on the news. You want to watch the news? Well, fine. But what are you going to get? Well, you're going to get at least 16 minutes of erectile dysfunction commercials. I mean, my God. I don't understand the evening news. I mean, isn't there anybody out there with a company that would like to support the evening news? Well, no, they don't. They don't want anything to do with it. Big Pharma is the Democratic Party. They're all connected. And Big Pharma is making big, big money. See, Democrats like that. They don't want to do the work on their own. They just need to take a pill. Well, it doesn't work that way. I would love to be able to take a couple of pills and do a couple of things myself. But I can't. It doesn't work that way. Pills and drugs are not solution to every frickin' problem. You got a headache, you take an aspirin. Okay, fine. Aspirin doesn't get rid of your headache anyway. But just because you don't pay attention in class doesn't mean that you got to be drugged up. Just because you're feeling a little blue doesn't mean that you have all this depression and you need to take all these pills and take this and take that and blah, 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 blah. And then when you get off it, guess what you do? You go on a killing rampage. Almost every single one of these mass murders that we've had, all these women drowning their kids in the bathtubs, killing their kids, they got, what do you call, postpartum depression, whatever. And it's all connected to these drugs. These depression drugs are dangerous. If you've got a doctor that doesn't want to help treat you, all they want to do is just give you a prescription, you find another doctor. That's what you do. You don't need a psychiatrist anyway. You're your best psychiatrist. These psychiatrists, they don't know you. Only you know you. Only you know how to fix you. You're the only one that knows how to fix you. And if you don't, then you're unfixable. A doctor ain't going to help you. Those pills ain't going to help you. It's a temporary fix. It's not a real fix. And who pays for most of these drugs? Well, take a guess. Miss Winter reports that several dead children have been discovered washed up along the riverbank of the Rio Grande, but fails to note that there have been no reports by the Obama administration on this. What, they didn't report it? Well, aren't they the most transparent administration in American political history? That's what I thought. That's what they say. Right? Guess not. Well, this indicates a very dangerous pattern of covering up. Everything is a cover-up. Everything in government is a cover-up. Why do anything if you're just going to cover it up? I mean, what the hell is the point? I mean, after a while. It was 2 weeks before the news actually reported on the soul child. I think we talked about him. Gilberto Ramos, a 15-year-old boy from Guatemala, whose body was found in Texas, in the Texas brush, dead from the heat. Died trying to get to America. 15 years old, all by himself. Doesn't that bother you, Mr. Satoru, of what you're doing to these kids? I mean, it's bad enough what you're doing to the American people. Now we got to deal with these people coming into our town, bringing their drugs, bringing their crime, bringing their diseases, bringing their attitudes. If we have to now learn their language, they refuse to learn ours. Giving them free medical, welfare, food stamps. It's bad enough you're doing that, but what you're actually doing, these are human beings, Mr. Obama. These are human beings. Okay? They're not voters. They're human beings. That's how you have to look at it. And what you're doing, Mr. Obama, you may not have called up Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador and said, yeah, go ahead and promote it and you know, tell your people to come to America. We'll take care of them. He may not have said it, but he certainly didn't say, no, that's not what I said, and no, don't come over here. Has he done anything to stop it? No. The only thing he's done is asked for $3.7 billion from Congress to fix the problem. But the problem is the border is not secure, but only 2% of that $3.7 billion is going to go to fix the border. So you think this problem's going to get fixed? No. It's another $3.7 billion down the crapper. Wants to sue over the Defense of Marriage Act? Mr. Boehner, I mean, sometimes I wonder if this guy really isn't a Democrat and he's not doing this kind of crap to make the Republicans look bad. I mean, I kind of wonder sometimes. I mean, I'm not accusing. I'm just wondering, because it almost seems sometimes that these people in government, they always got an ulterior motive. Their only one motive that they should have is working for the American people. They're the American people, too. They don't seem to understand that. They think there's a government and then the people. Well, the people are the government are the people. It's not supposed to be. That's neither here nor there, because we don't have that anymore. Now we've got a king. We don't have a Congress anymore. We don't have a Bill of Rights anymore. We get only the rights that the king will give us, if he's generous enough to give us any. Well, Louis Gohmert, he's my new buddy. Republican Congress from Texas is quoted telling Ms. Winter, "I am more concerned than ever that the border is so seriously undermanned, and yes, I will be raising hell in Washington." Well, yeah, he does do that, and good for him. We do have good people in Congress. We do have good people in Congress. The problem is we don't have any leadership in Congress. So all the good people in Congress, I mean, what can they do? Another committee hearing? Another contempt charge? Another lawsuit? Another bill? We don't need any more bills. We don't need any more legislation. We just need to follow the legislation that we currently have. We follow the current current laws that we have on the books right now. A good 80 to 90%, if not 90, 95% of these problems are going to go away. All we have to do is follow the law. That's it. Will we? Well, we're supposed to, the citizens. But see, the cops, they can break the law. They don't have to follow the law. Government, no. They don't have to follow the law, no. They're special people. And if you're really, really rich, no, you don't have to follow the law. You're special. You got money. But you, the peasant, yes, you have to follow the law. Every law. And if you don't, we're going to punish you. Ugh. Well, later on, Mr. Gohmert, my new buddy, tells the Border Patrol officials, "The Border Patrol agents loaded and unloaded their vehicles packed with the newly arrived illegal immigrants, including women pregnant or nursing infants and small unaccompanied children throughout the evening and early morning hours." These are children, unaccompanied, by themselves. Doesn't that bother you, Mr. President? These children are coming over here by themselves and they're dying along the way. They're dying when they're trying to get on the stupid death train. They're dying when they're trying to walk into the United States from the deserts there in Mexico, from the heat. They're dying from trying to swim across the Rio Grande and drown. They're dying from diseases. And you're doing nothing. You're making the problem worse. And Mr. Boehner, you want to sue over the Defense of Marriage Act? I mean, what? My God, Mr. Boehner, have you not been paying attention to what this administration has been doing for the past 6 years? Where the hell have you been? And don't give me any more of these pounding of the chest statements that you make, these sound bites. You make me sick. Don't give me sound bites. Give me action. And I want it now. I'm tired of waiting for it. You want to have a lawsuit? Well, then sue the commander-in-chief for deserting his post during an act of war. The very moment this man found out that our embassy was on fire, our ambassador had gone missing, we were under attack with mortar fire, machine gun fire. And this president goes upstairs to eat? And then gets on the horn with Netanyahu for 2 hours. Hillary Clinton, she goes home. Evidently, she's getting updates. The president, he's in the Oval Office, which he has never been there before, except for taking a couple of photo ops. He's in the Oval Office. He's getting updates. So Hillary Clinton is at home. The president is in the Oval Office. God only knows what he's really doing. More than likely, he's practicing his fundraising speech the next day in Las Vegas. So who's down in the Situation Room? Who's taking care of the Situation Room? Huh? Who's in charge? Oh, that's right, Valerie Goebbels and the dude. And you want to sue over the Defense of Marriage Act? Okay, yeah, he did break the law by rewriting the law. He can't do that. He's a president. He's not a king. He can't rewrite law. I understand that, and I get it. And I don't have a problem with you putting that on the lawsuit. But the problem is you left out all the things that really matter. First of all, what's going on with this immigration? That should be on the lawsuit. What he did with Fast and Furious needs to be on the lawsuit. Benghazi definitely needs to be on the lawsuit. IRS needs to definitely be on this lawsuit. The stimulus packages need to definitely be on this lawsuit. Obamacare definitely needs to be on this lawsuit. I mean, we can't even count how many laws this man has rewritten, written, not followed, changed. Then we get to the Constitution. I mean, just what this man has done just to the preamble of the Constitution is grounds for dismissal right frickin' there. Mr. Boehner, could you pay attention to what the hell's going on in the government? You're in the government. You don't even know what the hell's going on. Mr. Gohmer goes on to say, at first, they were mostly teenagers, arriving with their mother or brothers or just no one at all. Then came the pregnant women. Women nursing infants. A small girl with her eyes wide open clutching a doll. A total of 72 came in during the first dark hours of Saturday morning. Wow. A third of them were unaccompanied children. Imagine that, a third of them. That's a lot of kids. And they're trucking, they're making this trek on their own, by themselves. Yeah, they're with other people, but I mean, they're kids. Children are not adults. They can't really take care of themselves. Mr. Obama, doesn't that bother you? If you really had a conscience and you really understood the situation of what the hell was going on down there, first of all, you wouldn't have gone to Colorado to do a fundraiser and you wouldn't be playing pool. You wouldn't be doing any fundraisers. You'd be fixing the border. You want $3.7 billion? Okay, we'll give you the $3.7 billion. But that money goes to border security and border security only, meaning $3.7 billion will go into hire more border patrol. We got a lot of people out of work, 92.5 million people out of work. I'm pretty sure some of these people might want a job protecting the border. Will you do that? Will you stop this influx of these children coming over here, disease-ridden, dying along the way, dying of the heat, dying of starvation, drowning? Doesn't that bother you? These are people. These are human beings, for God's sakes. I mean, when I think about this stuff, I mean, I'm not Mr. Softy. I'm not Mr. Sensitive. But my God, these are people. These are human beings, and they're being brought over here simply to be a vote, and that's it, a vote. Can you put that on your lawsuit there, Mr. Boehner? Huh? I mean, that lawsuit is a joke. It's pointless. I mean, God, okay, fine. I don't have a problem if you want to sue the president for not doing his job. But here's how you do it. Maybe you should read the Constitution, Mr. Boehner. See, when you have an out-of-control president like we do, one that has destroyed this Constitution from the very, very first sentence on down to the last damn period, when you have a president that's rewriting laws, following only the parts of laws that he wants to follow, making up his own laws along the way, blaming Republicans for all the messes that he's created, and you want to sue over what he did with the Defense of Marriage Act? Well, that's just freaking ridiculous. Nebraska governor. Illinois senator. Say that the White House is sending illegal immigrant children to their states without notice. That's right. They don't have to notice you. They're the federal government. They can do whatever they want. Didn't you read the Constitution? It says right here, federal government can do whatever the hell they want. See that 10th Amendment that we used to have? Well, that's been redacted. Okay? It's blocked out. We don't have, there is no 10th Amendment. States do not have any sovereignty. They have no rights anymore. See, this is what I don't understand, why people don't get it. They think that, you know, all other countries, they have, you know, one main government. Those are tyrannies. There's, you know, some countries have some states and some don't. Well, the United States does. It's just happenstance how we got it. But the 13 colonies, each one of them, had their own laws, their own rules, their own way of life. So when they got together and tried to form the government, they wanted to keep, yes, we wanted to be united, but they had to make sure that these colonies, which were later to become states, were going to be able to keep their own sovereignty, keep their own way of life. That's why that 10th Amendment is in there. The 10th Amendment is a very important amendment. That's just another cog right in there to make sure that this government doesn't turn tyrannical. However, well, we can't have that. We must turn tyrannical. Everybody else is turning tyrannical. The United States must do it too. I can care less if the rest of the world is under tyranny. I'm an American. We don't have tyranny here. Maybe you should read the Constitution there, Mr. Obama. Oh, that's right. You were a scholar. Yeah. Yeah. A professor. Yeah. You weren't a professor. A guest speaker that rarely showed up is not a professor. Elected officials in two states, far from the United States-Mexico border, have claimed that the Obama administration has resettled hundreds of unaccompanied illegal immigrant children without adequate notice and has refused to detail the exact locations where the children are being kept. Of course, they're not going to do that. Why? They tell you where they are, you're going to send people down there, take pictures, put it on the news, and you're going to embarrass the administration. We're not going to have that. Well, Fox News has learned that 748 unaccompanied minors have been transferred from areas near the border to the Chicago area. Uh-oh. We've got something on Chicago today. We're going to get to it. I'm just giving you a little tease. But I'm going to tell you right now, Chicago residents, black Chicago residents, president's homeboys, they are not happy with him. They are not happy with this man. And they've got every reason to not be happy. But again, it's kind of hard for me to feel sorry for these people, too. They're the ones who voted for him twice. Again, liberals love liberalism until it affects them. And then, oh, now we've got to complain. Well, maybe you should have done your homework before you voted for this crap. I mean, I'm just saying. Hello? Wakey, wakey time. I don't give people sympathy anymore. I'd love to. I'd love to be able to give people sympathy, but I can't. And that bitch, and yeah, she's a bitch. I got no other. I got a whole bunch of other words that I call this woman, but I call her in private. But over the air, I can call her a bitch because she is a bitch. She took these names. Don't give me this crap. They just follow her orders. I'm not going to use that as an excuse. That is ridiculous. But that bitch who put those names of those veterans on that secret list and then put that list in her desk drawer. These veterans got no care. Some of them died. Some of them are close to death. And there's no way to repair them now. Just a matter of time before they kill over. I don't care if you were just doing what you were told. You were just following orders. That is not an excuse. I give you no sympathy. Every single one of those guards in the towers in Auschwitz were just doing what they were told, just doing their job. Every single one of those German soldiers who pointed out which one of those Jews was going to get on that boxcar and which one was going to stay in the ghetto was just doing his job, just following orders. Every single one of those soldiers that took those Jews and put them in those gas chambers and put them in the oven were just following orders, just doing their job. So don't give me this nonsense that you were just following orders, you bitch. You put those men on a list and you killed them. And I'm glad, and I'm happy that you came out and you spilled the beans. I'm happy that you did that. However, you deserve to go to jail for a very long time for what you did. You should have came out the very moment that your supervisor told you to do this. And that supervisor, whoever that supervisor or supervisors that told you to do that, they need to be in the same cell with you. Maybe we'll put you and Obama and the rest of them right into one big giant cell. How about that? That's no excuse. I'm just doing my job? Just following orders? Really? So go ahead and kill these veterans. That's your order. And you follow it? And then you want to come on acting like you're a victim? And you want sympathy? Well, if you want sympathy, bitch, it's in between shit and syphilis in the dictionary. Look it up. You'll get all the sympathy you can muster up. But I will give you none. You don't deserve any. You don't put people on a list knowing full well that they're not going to get any medical care and they have no ability to get care anywhere else but the veterans. And you killed them. You get no sympathy from me. And yeah, you are a bitch. You're a whole bunch of other names. But I'm going to be a professional and not call you that. But you are those names. You got anybody investigating her? You get the FBI to do that? Huh? Have we found out who her supervisor was? Have we put any indictments on the table here? We got any grand juries cooking? These people, we know who did it. We know who put these people, these veterans on these secret lists. We know the people that did it. Why are they not prosecuted? Why are they not in jail? Why has there not been a grand jury? Why are these people still walking free? I don't know. I'm not going to give up on that, veterans. I'm still pissed at that. I'm going to be pissed for the rest of my life. And I'm sorry, bitch, but yeah, you get no sympathy from me. What you did was very, very, very bad. You deserve to spend the rest of your life in jail. You do not deserve to see one more free day for the rest of your miserable life. Shame on you. Anyway, getting back. Of the original group of 748 kids, 319 family members or sponsors, whatever that may be. That's a little general. The other 429 have been placed in facilities run by the Heartland Alliance. It's a nonprofit organization that receives grants from the Department of Health and Human Services. Well, they don't receive grants from the Department of Health and Human Services. They receive grants from the American people. It's your money. It's not the Department of Health and Human Services money. Their money is your money. They didn't get money on their own. The only way they're going to get money is by your tax dollars. That's your money. Your money is paying for these people. Your money is paying for Obama to fly all over the country and play pool and drink beer and not do his job. And we're going to take him to court for changing the Defense of Marriage Act. Huh. Well, again, it's, yeah, he did break the law and he shouldn't have done it. But the Defense of Marriage Act over Benghazi, Fast and Furious, IRS, Obamacare, stimulus packages, NSA, I mean, the list goes on and on. Go out and get yourself a real lawsuit, Mr. Boehner. Huh? Jerk. Senator Mark Kirk. He's a Republican from Illinois. Fox News on Friday that he did not know the exact locations of the facilities where the children were being kept and stated his belief that the White House did not want the children's living conditions to be made public. Well, of course. We already talked about that. We know that. He goes on, my worry is the administration doesn't want people to know what the condition of these places are and how these kids are being treated in detention. Kids can sometimes be pretty cruel to each other. They don't want these stories to get out, and they don't want us to know what is going on in these detention facilities. These detention facilities should be completely open to the press and to the American people so that we know how and what conditions there are. We should be able to talk to these kids who are there. Right, we should be. But we can't talk to these kids? Oh, that's right. We got to keep the privacy. They need privacy. We need privacy for what? They broke into our country illegally. Some of them have now taken over towns, forced people out of their homes at gunpoint. They've taken their homes, eating their food, watching their television, probably driving their cars, playing with their dogs. God only knows what they're doing. But you're damn right these facilities should be open to the public. The public is being affected by this. But they don't want that. They don't want you to see all the dead children floating in the Rio Grande. They don't want you to see the dead children laying in the desert dead from the heat. And then ravished from all the animals. They don't want you to see that. They don't want to see. They don't want you to see all these children and all these adults coming in here with all these diseases. They don't want you to see that. No, we don't. No, 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 no. We can't show that. No, no, no. Might have a damper on trying to get amnesty. And this, first of all, this comprehensive immigration reform. Okay, first of all, it's not comprehensive. It's amnesty. And that's it. It's pretty simple. If you're over here, you're a citizen. That's it. That's not very comprehensive. And it's not an immigration policy. That's not an immigration policy. These people need to be sent back. We've already got an immigration policy on the books. We don't need to fix it. We just need to follow the laws that we have now. This problem will go away. Every other country seems to have no trouble of following their immigration policies. They don't have any trouble at all. Mexico doesn't. Mexico doesn't have any trouble at all of putting people into prison who illegally cross into their country. Even if you legally cross into their country, they're still going to put you into jail. You don't believe me? Ask Sergeant Tamaresi. He's still in jail. Why isn't he out? Huh? I mean, Mr. Obama, do you care about the American people or do you care about, I guess, you? Well, everybody should care about themselves. I mean, you can't care about anybody else until you at least care about yourself. I mean, right? But, I mean, it comes to a point where you can only care about yourself, you know, so much. But you got to care about other people. You got to care about life. Obviously, Mr. President, you don't care about life. It doesn't bother you that these children are dying in the desert from the heat, dying in the river because they can't swim, dying from all the diseases that they're picking up from all the other people who have diseases. Do you not understand what you're doing? Do you not understand that the veterans, those people are real people? They went out and they fought and they killed for you. And you still haven't been able to find these vets a doctor? And those people that put them on the list, again, I just cannot understand why these people are not behind bars. Why is there no grand jury? Why is the FBI not investigating? Why is anybody not investigating? I mean, the president's got a magic pen. He's got a phone. He can fix this problem. He doesn't need Congress. But why isn't he fixing it? Well, he needs Congress. Oh, because you have to fix something that you don't want to fix. Now we're getting to it. See, if he doesn't want to fix it, then he's going to use the excuse, well, we can't do that. I'm a constitutional scholar and says right here I got to go through Congress, so I can't do it. But then he gets something that he wants to get fixed. Well, Congress isn't acting, and I've got to act. So I'm going to take out my magic pen, and I'm going to act, because Congress refuses. That's those Republicans. It's that Tea Party, them Koch brothers. I cannot explain the incompetence of the Obama administration, Mr. Kirk said. I can't either. This is a tremendous self-inflicted political wound. No, it's a self-inflicted political wound, yeah. But it's also a wound on the American people, a wound on our sovereignty, our solvency, our way of life. Not just a self-inflicted wound to the president. Because we don't seem to have a strong enough Congress who's going to give him that wound, who's going to make the wound hurt. This president needs to be impeached, not sued. You do not desert your post as commander-in-chief during an act of war, a battle. When the battle is raging on, you're upstairs eating. You never made it to the Situation Room. You never sent any troops to help. I mean, that's number one. Every country, anybody, I don't care who you are. The frickin' Cub Scouts. They got a Cub Scout that goes down out in the forest, out in the woods out there on a camping trip. They're all going to come to his rescue. That's how we do things. You don't go upstairs and eat. You don't get on the phone with Netanyahu for 2 friggin' hours. And you don't send one of your aides, your propaganda minister, Valerie Goebbels, down to the Situation Room with the dude. A 19-year-old howdy-doody looking guy. I mean, what the hell is the matter with you, Obama? What the hell is the matter with you? And what the hell's the matter with you, Boehner? I mean, do you not know what this man did? And then Trey Gowdy. This is the instructions that Boehner gives Trey Gowdy. Find out, this investigation is supposed to find out what happened, or why we got attacked, and what to do not to happen again. Well, we already know what happened. We don't need an investigation. We already know what happened. They attacked us because we tried to get weapons back from weapons we allowed them to get. We got rid of our security, so that tells me that's a little deliberate. Don't give me this nonsense. Well, we wanted to make the Libyan people think that, that we trusted them, so we got rid of all of our security. Well, that's not the point. Every country who has an embassy in every country, and it doesn't matter what. I mean, we've got security in our embassy in Canada. Every embassy has security. There's reasons for it. And this is the hottest zone on planet Earth, and we get rid of our security? We already know what happened. We already know what to do, what to make damn sure that it never happens again. We already know this. That's a worthless, absolutely worthless committee. And I knew it. As much as, I mean, I'm a big Trey Gowdy fan. I am. I'm his buddy. I'm his man. But I knew this was going to happen. I knew John Boehner was going to tie his hands and make him do some kind of committee that was going to go absolutely nowhere. And what are we going to get out of it? Okay, we're going to have all these subpoenas. We're going to bring all these people in. And we're going to hear the same crap. I don't know. Wasn't my job. Everything worked fine. I don't recall. I plead the fifth. On and on and on and on and on. So what are we going to get out of it? Well, nothing. President needs to be impeached, Mr. Boehner. Hopefully, this next election, we take over the Senate, keep the House. Hopefully, the House realizes that Mr. Boehner is a worthless Speaker of the House. He needs to go. We fire the son of a bitch and put somebody in there that understands the role of their job, understands the role of Congress, understands the role of government, understands the American people and their way of life. I can't explain the incompetence of the Obama administration, Mr. Kirk said. This is a tremendous self-inflicted political wound. This narrative that this is Obama's Katrina is starting to stick really hard. I don't like that term, Katrina. Using that, I think it's a wrong term. I don't think we take a tragedy like that. But you know what? We can debate this back and forth for till the third and fourth coming, and it's past, it's over. The only thing we can do now is, again, we got to learn from what we did and did not do. And the next time somebody tells you they got a Category 5 hurricane coming your way, get your freaking ass out of your home. Get out of the way of the goddamn hurricane, you freaking idiots. Again, it's hard for me to feel any sympathy for some of these people with Katrina. It really is. They had plenty of time to get out, but they didn't. The mayor had plenty of resources to get these people out, but he didn't use them. All these trucks sitting there, all these buses, could have transported I don't know how many people out of town, but they didn't go. Nobody wanted to leave. And then when the rains came, well, no, George Bush, help me, help me, help me. Nebraska Governor Dave Heineman told the Wall Street Journal Saturday that 200 children were sent to his state without any warning and added that the federal officials had refused to give him their names and locations. Governors and mayors have the right to know when the federal government is transporting a large group of individuals, in this case, illegal immigrants, into your state. We need to know who they are, and so far, they are saying they are not going to give us that information. Well, that's right. They're not going to give you that information. Department of Health and Human Services spokesman Will Jenkins told the Journal that the HHS is required by law to keep the personal information of unaccompanied children confidential. What law? What are you talking about? Required by law. There's a lot of things required by law that this administration isn't doing. It's funny how they just pick and choose what law they want to follow. Wouldn't that be nice? You can just pick and choose the laws you can follow. I mean, hell. And then the laws that you do follow, well, you can only pick and choose when you got the opportunity to pick and choose what parts of that law to follow. And then if you don't have a law that you want, well, you can just make one up. Delaware Governor Jack Markell, he's a Democrat. Now, these are governors here. Again, what this president, does he not understand the 10th Amendment and the purpose for the 10th Amendment? You're a constitutional scholar, Mr. Obama. Why do you not understand this? Come on. You got to get with it, kid. Delaware Governor Jack Markell, a Democrat, said his state was one of those approached and told the Journal that the United States should take a hard look at what we can do to be sure that as these kids get sent back, they're going to back to places that are going to be safer. Well, that's the Democrat in him. Well, we'll make them safe. I understand what he's trying to say, and I get it. These are people. I'm not saying that we need to put these people, you know, into harm's way of any kind. But we can't put the American people into harm's way either. It's not being selfish. It's self-defense. Self-defense is not selfish. I guess technically you could consider it that way, but I don't consider being self-defense as being selfish. Selfish is something different. This looks like permanent resettlement in the United States, Mr. Kirk said, which only encourage more people to join the coyotes or the criminal trafficking networks. And let me tell you something, these coyotes, I mean, this is big business now. They're all these Mexicans, they're making tons of money. They are charging upwards of 50 grand, 100 grand. They're charging big bucks to take in Middle Eastern men into the United States, and they're doing it. Is this president trying to stop that? No. Does he care about it? Well, obviously he doesn't. He wants to bring his buddies into the United States, but he knows we got laws, so the only way he can get his friends into the United States is get rid of border security. They've got these certain, what the hell do they call them now? Anyway, they're national parks. And the EPA has labeled them, well, you can't touch these pristine lands. You're not allowed to walk in them. These are just for the animals. It's pristine. You're not allowed to touch it. And the Border Patrol, they can't go in there. They can't drive a car into this pristine area. They're not allowed to go in there. And illegal aliens know this. So that's where they're also crossing the border. In New Mexico, he wants to put a big one. He wants to buy up all this land in New Mexico, which is right on the border, and turn it into one of these national parks that no one's allowed to go in. So illegal aliens can just waltz right on in. And when I say illegal aliens, I'm not talking about just Mexicans. I mean, they got Pakistan, they've got all these countries coming over here. And they got billions of dollars, so it's not going to hurt them at all to pay 50 grand to a stupid Mexican coyote. Mexican's going to take the money. They'll take that 50 grand every day. Mr. President, are you aware of the things that are going on in your country? Could you take a little interest not only in your job, but in the American way of life? Take an interest in life, period. You've got people dying, and their blood is on your hands. I'm sorry, but every one of these children that had died in the desert and died in the Rio Grande, every one of these people that are coming in with all these diseases and getting more diseases from other people with other diseases, their blood is on your hands. You could have stopped this a long time ago, but you didn't. You made the problem worse, and you're only making the problem worser and worser and worser. For what? So the Democrats can win the next election, and you can turn Texas blue? We're America. Freedom comes first. Politics comes second. All right, we got a lot to go over here today, and I've got to get into what's going on in Israel. We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. So what we don't get into tonight, we got all week to get it in. None of these problems are going away. But I at least want to be able to get a lot of stuff done here today. So if I can shut up long enough, let's open up my treasure chest and see what kind of booty we can plunder tonight. All right, with all this Israel stuff, we got Israel who defies John Kerry. Says we will destroy the terrorists attacking us. And good for Israel. Hamas rockets hit power line, cuts power off to Gaza. They hit their own power lines, cut it off. Israel doesn't want to repair it, and I don't blame them. I wouldn't do it. I'd cut all their power off. ISIS destroys shrines and mosques. And get this, they're even thinking about targeting Mecca. I mean, this ISIS is out of control. And I think what's going to happen, I think this ISIS is far beyond more radical than any Muslim group ever. And I really think that the only way ISIS is going to actually truly be destroyed is I think Muslim countries are going to have to destroy them themselves. Egypt, Saudi Arabia. I mean, these countries are going to have to get off their ass. They're going to have to do something. The United States can't solve every problem. But the United States has to be a little bit more supportive with Israel. Don't come out and tell me, oh, yeah, we give Israel all the support. But your actions show something completely different. And for you, John Kerry, to tell Israel, not to defend themselves? Who the hell are you to tell anybody not? Nobody can tell anybody that they can't defend themselves. I mean, what the hell is that? That's ridiculous. John Kerry, shut up. Stop speaking. Don't say anything more. Islamic State to Hamas. So they got this ISIS to Hamas. We must attack America before supporting your fight against Israel. And you got all these experts out there saying, oh, well, no, that ISIS, they're not a threat to America. No, they're just there in Iraq and Syria. Their goal is America. Their goal is to have the entire Middle East Sharia. And their goal is to destroy America. Well, if this president keeps going the way he's going, they're not going to have too much trouble doing it. They certainly have enough people in this country right now. One phone call away, and they can attack. I mean, again, Mr. President, doesn't any of this stuff bother you? I know you got gray hair being in here, but what are you worried about? Huh? Worried about your pitching arm? Worried about your bowling scores? Where did you get your gray hair? Huh? You're not worried about the problems facing this country, so what the hell are you worried about? Why? How did you get gray hair? Is that, you know, I'm wondering if that gray hair isn't fake. I wonder if he doesn't dye his hair. If he doesn't, every morning he gets up and he's got somebody that colors it in. This man doesn't seem to be stressed or worried about anything. So where is his gray hair coming from? Well, I think it comes from a bottle. And someone's putting it on his head every morning. But that's me. I mean, I'm not making an accusation. I'm just saying it could be a possibility. His actions don't reflect stress and worry. Some people do gray early. My brother's had gray hair since we were kids. Obama slammed by black Chicago residents. They're calling him the worst president ever. Imagine that. Imagine that. Black Chicago residents are calling President Obama the worst president ever. Well, we got a clip. We're going to play that today. This is the last damn thing I do tonight. We're going to play that. I wanted to play it a long time ago, but it just never works out that way. 6 weeks after controversial Taliban trade, Private Bergdahl is now returning back to active duty. I mean, God almighty. You don't desert your post and go back into active duty. You go to jail, especially in a time of war. Pentagon now is giving pink slips to thousands of soldiers, including active duty officers. Well, again, we've got to lower our military. I mean, look, if Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Hamas and all these other jihad groups, if they're gonna come over here and attack and take over America, well, we've got to do something about our military, so we've got to get rid of them. We've got to lower our military. We've got to put women admirals in charge of all these planes. And the woman maybe not even been in a plane. You want to get an admiral? You want to get a general? Okay, you need to put it. The reason why they're supposed to be admirals and generals is because they're the smartest ones of the bunch. They're not a figurehead. Admirals and generals are not political appointees. And political appointees shouldn't be treated as that either. Political appointees should be treated. Look, if you've got the expertise in a certain field, okay, I'll appoint you. But if you don't, I'm not going to appoint you just because you're my friend and you're a good Democrat. That's ridiculous. Oh, my God. Now, this story here. All right. This one here, I swear to God. I mean, it just goes to show you. And these people vote. These people, these are your Obama voters. Anti-hunting activists are all up in arms now over a photo of Steven Spielberg that was taken a million years ago. And he's sitting next to a poor dead animal. Well, you see, the animal is a Triceratops. It was from the movie Jurassic Park. Well, he's sitting in front of an animal. It's a fake. It's just a picture. A dead animal. A dinosaur. And we've all been to grade school and we all learned that dinosaurs no longer exist. Well, these people seem to think, and I don't know if you've seen this photo, but it's a Triceratops. You all know what he looks like. And Spielberg is just sitting right there. They're outside. They took a picture. Well, here are some of the tweets of these people. These are Obama voters. Sebastian Hovden. Steven Spielberg has absolutely no respect for animals. A fake animal. And there's no gun in the picture to say that he shot him. It just looks like, you know, he's just sitting in front of a dead animal. But it's not a real animal. It was real, oh God, I don't know, maybe 10 million, 12 billion years ago. These people vote. Brandon Finn. If these animals are so rare, they should be moved to reservation where it's illegal to kill them. I mean, that's just God almighty. My God, you idiots. When you take a look at the picture, you can tell right away that it's a dinosaur. It's fake. But not to these people. And then somebody wrote on there, well, that's Steven Spielberg, director of Jurassic Park. And Vincent Smith writes, I don't care who he is. He should not have shot that animal. I mean, and you can't make this stuff up. I mean, here you have somebody, James Bogus. He says, well, you know, look, people, relax. That's Steven Spielberg. He's a director of Jurassic Park. Well, Vincent Smith says he doesn't care who he is, that he should not have shot the animal. I mean, how do you can't make this stuff. I mean, there's hundreds of tweets of this crap. Of these people, they're pissed off at Steven Spielberg. They have no idea it's a fake animal. It's not a real animal. He didn't shoot it. And these people vote. Well, after an injured vet waits 2 years for a wheelchair. His wheelchair breaks down in Lowe's. Well, Lowe's employees moved right in, three of them, stepped in and did what the VA flat refuses to do. In 1971, I stepped on a landmine in Vietnam and lost both legs above the knee. For the past 2 years, I have been waiting to receive a new wheelchair from the Veterans Administration. In addition, I have been told that I am not entitled to a spare wheelchair. Well, the man didn't need a spare wheelchair. He needed one that worked because this one was broken. The veteran is Michael Susona. That's the veteran. On the evening of July 7th, my wheelchair fell apart again while shopping at Lowe's Home Improvement Center in a Forest Avenue in Mariners Harbor. Three employees, David, Marcus, and Soliman, jumped to my assistance immediately. They placed me in another chair while they went to work. They took the wheelchair apart and replaced the broken parts and told me, we're going to make this chair like new. I left 45 minutes after closing hours in my wheelchair that was indeed like new. I kept thanking them, and all they could say was, it was our honor. These actions of these three employees at Lowe's showed me there are some who still believe in stepping to the plate. They didn't ask any questions, didn't feel the need to fill out any forms or make any phone calls. Someone needed help, and they felt privileged to be given the opportunity. Now that was written by Mr. Michael Susona. Very good. I mean, I love stories like this, and the only reason why I did this is because the VA still has yet to help these veterans. I mean, they can't even get them a wheelchair. Look, you got a broken wheelchair and it doesn't work. If he was an illegal alien, you damn Skippy, he'd get a brand new wheelchair, probably an electric one. The chair didn't work. It was broken. The man went out there and lost his legs for you in 1971. Which makes this guy probably around getting close to 70. 60-something. And he's been living with this since 1971? 45 years this man has been living with no legs. Unfriggin' believable. Well, good for those employees at Lowe's. Well, good for them. I just like stories like this when you, I mean, the government won't help, but here you got people to help. That's where you get your real help. You don't get help from the government. The government doesn't help you. The government hurts you. People help people. I just love that story, and that's why I said it. I just love that story of people coming to work and helping out a veteran. They probably didn't even know he was a veteran. They just seen a guy with no legs, his wheelchair broke in the store. What are they going to do? Well, you get up and you help them. It didn't hurt. The store didn't lose any money. So the guys had to, you know, stay after hours, 45 minutes after the store closed. Big whoop. Did anybody get hurt? No. This man who's been in a wheelchair for 2 years and hasn't worked has now got a wheelchair that he can, that will work. You just made the man's day. You probably made him cry. And I damn near cried reading this story. Well, good for those employees at Lowe's. Good for them. Good for them. Obama slammed by black Chicago residents as the worst president ever. Well, black residents of Chicago's South Side recently rallied to decry a spate of violence in their city, rip President Obama for ignoring their plight while pushing for funding for illegal immigrants at their expense. See, now they're pissed. And you piss off the brothers, man. Piss off the brothers and the sisters and you lose them. And I knew, I called this in the very beginning. I knew this was going to happen. You've seen that Obama was not going to do anything for the so-called black community. We don't have any black communities. Here's what we have. We have American communities. You're not African-American. You're American. You are no more or no less of an American than anybody else. You're not Chinese-American. You're not Liechtensteinian-American. You are American. The sooner you start considering yourself an American, everybody else will consider yourself an American. You're not an African-American. You're an American. However, the numbers do point out that there is a great percentage higher of black people out of work than white people, than any other race. Why that is, I mean, come on. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? It could be a lot of things. And I'm pretty sure that it is a lot of things. Well, President Obama wasn't going to help these people, and I knew it. I knew that he was going to lose the black people. Once he lost the black people, that's it. He's done. Well, you've lost them. You've lost your homeboys. You understand that, Mr. Satoru? You're losing the American people. You're losing everybody. You don't have anybody anymore. Well, the protest against the rash of shootings was staged on Friday, and over the 4th of July weekend, they had all kinds of shootings in Chicago. I was going to talk about it, but I didn't. I think it was like 84 shootings. Just in the weekend, I can't remember how many people died. Most people got injured. But just in 4th of July. And here you have Rahm Emanuel, who was the president's chief of staff, who's just a creep. This man is a bad man. He's bad people. Is Rahm Emanuel, is he doing anything in Chicago? No. I mean, the murder rate was already bad enough. This guy comes into office and the murder rate goes up. Is he doing anything? No. He's living high on the hog. He's living good. He's living a good life. What the hell difference does it make to him? Well, the protest against the rash of shootings was staged on Friday at the Chicago Police Department headquarters building. Over the 4th of July weekend, 9 people were killed. Okay, 9 people. And 60 people were injured. Demonstrators took to the streets and blasted the Obama administration's inaction in Chicago, while federal funds are embarked to help the roughly 50,000, it's actually more like 60, 70, I mean, really what the real number is, it's a hell of a lot more than 50. 50,000 illegal immigrants who have crossed into America since October. It's been a hell of a lot more than 50,000. Please. Well, this is what these people had to say in Chicago.
He's going to go down as being one of the worst presidents ever. Today, if you look at the time that we brought here as slaves 400 years ago, we got the same results today.
We look like we live in Beirut somewhere. Ambulance, fire department, police running up and down the street, all the violence our community.
All my life is always dark.
Dark.
Even on the sunniest day.
Day.
I can't go outside and play.
Play.
On my block.
Do something for our children. Have the same love for these young people like you got for the ones across the border, and you want to save them.
President Barack needs to pay attention to Chicago. If he cannot pay attention to Chicago and the African-American community, he needs to resign.
Here we got a mayor in our city and our president of the United States who have passed legislation and have given up funding to create opportunities for new citizens to come into the United States, ignoring people who have been born and raised here.
With the president setting aside all of these funds for immigrants and forsaken African-American community and African-American families, I think that's a disgrace. And Barack is from the heart of 55th in the city of Chicago. He saw this as a state senator. And he did not pay attention then.
Mr. President, we're asking for you. You're spending billions of dollars in Texas, but we got a problem here in Chicago. We will not stand by this here and keep letting this senseless killing and shooting happening in our community.
Again, as I say, he will probably go down as the worst president ever elected. Bill Clinton was the African-American president.
Well, I guess criticizing Obama isn't just for the Tea Party anymore. You lost your homeboys in Chicago, Mr. Obama. And now you're screwed. You know, you lose black people. That's one thing I do know, and I've been around them. I've got friends of mine that are black. I got friends of mine that are Asian. I got friends of mine that are Muslim. I got friends of all different kinds of colors and races and all kinds of crap. Jews. I got people. But something about the brothers, man. You cross them and that's it. You're done. They don't go back. They're not going to go back to you, Obama. You lost them. You've lost them. You pushed them away. They're not going to come back to you. And they shouldn't. They never should have gone to you to begin with, but they did. And again, these people, it's hard for me to feel sorry for these people, too. I mean, they were told. They were told what this guy was like twice, and they voted for him twice. So it's kind of hard for me to feel sorry for somebody who voted for somebody who they knew, they were told, he's not going to give you what you want. You're not going to get what you want. You're not. Look, everything looks good on paper, the hope and the change and the this and the that and the pop, 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 the unicorns and the rainbows and the whole smash. Well, how it looks on paper and how it looks in reality are two different things, and you were told. And everything that you were told was going to happen has happened. And yet the Tea Party and everybody on the right were the racists and the haters and the homophobes. Because we tell the truth. All right. All right. Now, we've got a lot to talk about here, but I have got to get into what's going on in Israel here. And we got 28 minutes to do it. Can I do it? I don't know. But we're going to find out. So let me see if I can get pulled back into here, take this off of here, bada boom, bada bing. Here we are. Now, Israel defies John Kerry. Responding to Secretary of State John Kerry's bid to work with both Israel and Hamas in negotiated truce, which John Kerry, you shouldn't, I mean, just a truce? No, we should be over there. Well, how many bombs do you need? Need any guns? What do you need to kill these bastards? You tell me what you need, Mr. Prime Minister Netanyahu. You want a couple airplanes? We can send over a couple of our pilots over there. We can bomb a few places. We don't go over there and tell them, don't fire your weapons. Don't upset them. They might fire back. Just let them get it out of their system. It's only a few rockets. Don't worry about it. It'll all be over soon. Don't upset them. They're civilians. Civilians? He's worried. This guy is actually worried about Israel firing back at Hamas. And they're worried about civilian casualties. Really, Mr. Kerry? Well, I'm wondering if you're really that concerned about Israeli civilians when Hamas's rockets are flying into Israel. Are you worried about the civilians then? But no, now you're worried about the Palestinian civilians, which I'm not saying the Palestinian civilians shouldn't be taken care of. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't worry about them and kill them. Fine. The Palestinians, don't worry about them. They're less than life. Just go ahead and kill as many as you can. No, that's not what I'm saying. There's always that civilian casualties in war. You're always going to have it. But look, I mean, these people, I mean, what are they supposed to do? What the hell is Israel supposed to do? Just allow Hamas to keep attacking them? No, they've got to defend themselves. Mr. Kerry, you shouldn't have said anything to them. But how many rockets do you need? How many planes do you need? How many guns do you need? What do you need, Mr. Netanyahu, to kill these sons of bitches? That's what you should have said. That should have been the conversation. Actually, you shouldn't have been in Israel. Where you should have been was in Mexico getting our war hero out of jail. Well, Danny Dannon, which is their defense minister, says, I think it would be a mistake to stop now the fight. And right, you don't stop now. They're kicking the living hell out of them. Israel is doing a good job on Hamas. They're getting them. And they got them just right now. And if they give up right now, what's going to happen is you're going to have, first of all, Hamas is going to be able to rebuild up strength and attack Israel again whenever they feel like it. Well, Israel right now is coming close. And I say coming close because they're not there yet, but they're coming close to really putting a damper on Hamas. Maybe might be able to end Hamas for good. Of course, it's going to be another jihadi group that's going to move right in, but it's going to be a while. And we got our Secretary of State over there telling them to not fire back. Don't defend yourself. Israel, just stop allowing the Obama administration people to even come into your country. That's what you got to do. I would love to see that. Maybe something might shake up in Washington where they might get it. I doubt it, but I don't know. There's only one solution to this mess that we have, and we've got to impeach this president. And then we got to go into the voting booth and we got to vote responsibly. But before we can vote responsibly, we got to put responsible people on the frickin' ballot. I think it would be a mistake to stop now the fight. because we will be in the hands of the Hamas until they decide when the next conflict will be. I think we have to take a major operation in order to uproot the missile ability of Hamas. I think we need to look for the long run, and for the long run, we need to take a major deep operation, and you cannot take any shortcuts. Costly for us, quote, unquote. You're damn right they will be. Wipe them friggin' out. Well, Israel is, they're doing it. They're not getting any help from anybody else. And again, this jihad is not just in Israel. It's not just in the Gaza Strip. It's not just in Iraq and Syria. It's all over the world. I know I sound like a broken record, but this is a world problem, and we have to get the world to solve it. First thing we need to do is we need to stop tolerating this jihadi Islamic nonsense in our own countries. All over Europe, Australia, Canada, United States, all over Asia, Russia. I mean, these people are everywhere. We've got to stop tolerating them. Right here in our own country. You want to be a Muslim? You want to be an American? That's fine. You can be any religion you want to. But you keep that crap to yourself. That's what you do. You don't be chopping heads off. You don't be demanding that pig farmers start raising goats so you can have something to have sex with when they're not at home. We eat pig in this country. We like our bacon. And if you don't like pig, you don't like bacon, then get the hell out. 70,000 Gazans. We're in the dark Sunday night after Hamas rocket hit the power line that supplies electricity to those places. But you can't fire, you can't aim your rockets any better than that. You hit your own damn power lines. Well, Benjamin Netanyahu has asked the IEC, that's their electrical company, not to risk the lives of its employees in trying to restore power to the affected sector. For the operation, it could take several hours. I wouldn't do it at all. I'd shut it all off. I wouldn't give Gaza any power, any of them. No, you don't have power. You want electrical power? Okay, well, we want peace. So you give us peace, we give you electricity. Oh, you don't like that? You don't like that deal? Okay, well, then you get nothing. Stay in the dark. As Operation Protective Edge enters its seventh day, many Israelis are demanding that the country take a more aggressive action against Hamas in order to put a halt to the seemingly endless missile attacks from Gaza. Well, I think Israel's going to have to bring in ground troops, and I think that's what it's going to turn into. I think this war is going to be big. I don't want to see this, but I think we're going to have a lot of countries have a lot of revolutions. I think what's going to happen is we're going to end up being in a world war along with America being in a civil war. We're going to have a perfect storm of war on planet Earth. And for what? For what? What? What is the game? What are people going to win if they win this war? I just want to go back to where, when I was a kid, I know. But when I was a kid, when I was still even in the Navy, even when I got out of the Navy, you still had America was America. I mean, we had no trouble with waving our American flag. Nobody said a word. But after 9/11, we get attacked by Muslims, and now we have to run to Muslims. Give them compassion and understanding after they just killed 3,000 of our people. No, there could be any understanding. There could be any compassion. Well, I might show you a little compassion. I'll shoot you in the head so you die immediately. I won't let you suffer. I mean, if that's the kind of compassion that you're looking for, I'll give it. I'll give you that kind of compassion. Can't wave the flag anymore. The flag is offensive to Muslims. So, good. It's supposed to be. Because that flag represents freedom. is supposed to be offensive to tyrants. You damn Skippy it is. That's the point. That's the purpose. And I'm glad that it's offensive to these people. Good. You're offensive to me. You're offensive to life on Earth. So shut up. Screw their electricity. Who knows if they'll get it back. If I was Netanyahu, I would never return it back. You want electricity? Well, you know, we want peace. You got to play hardball with these people, man. These people don't know how to play any other game. They don't know how to play nice. They're not nicey people. They don't know how to play nice. They only know death and destruction. That's it. Hamas and other Palestinian groups have appealed to Egypt and other Arab countries to intervene to stop the IDF operation. See, Hamas has already realized, since they got hit a lot harder than they thought they were going to get hit, and last week Hamas had realized, ooh, wait a minute, Israel's there, they're here to conduct business. They're not screwing around. Well, they realize that they're undermanned, so now they're trying to act like it's Israel doing all. Of course, you always get that. I mean, they go out and they send all these rockets out of attack, and Israel sends one little... And Israel, of course, Israel, oh, this and that, blah, 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 blah. These people, they drive you freaking nuts. They go out and commit all these atrocities and then blame you for them. Well, given Hamas's bad relations with the Egyptian authorities, it's unlikely that President Sisi would rush to save the moment. For Muslim Brotherhood is not their friends. Sisi and Muslim Brotherhood, they don't get along very well. Well, Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas, of course, these are all jihad groups. All these jihad groups, they all love each other, except for IS. It seems IS is more radical for the most radical of all radicals. So that kind of tells you where they are. Speaking of IS, they now have been destroying shrines, mosques, churches. They don't care. ISIS is leaving a path of destroyed churches, shrines, and mosques in its wake as it storms across Syria and Iraq, and even has its eyes set on Mecca. 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 Well, evidently, this was tried a long time ago, a big black stone. What do they call it? The Kaaba, I think is what it is. I guess it was something, this Kaaba was stolen like a couple thousand years ago, 1,000 years ago, whenever it was. And people kept going back to Mecca anyway. They thought that they would stop people from going to Mecca. Well, it didn't stop people from going to Mecca. So then this group, whoever stole it, wanted to give it back to them, of course, for a very heavy price. Now, they're upset at everybody. Unless they are exactly like them, you're going to get killed. They'll cut your head off. They'll shoot you. They do whatever. But you're not going to live. They've already bulldozed or blown up some of the most sacred places in Iraq, and seem bent on killing and destroying anyone or anything that does not measure up to their vision of Islam. Yvonne Haddad, she's a professor at Georgetown University who specializes in the history of Islam and Christian-Muslim relations. She says they see themselves as the last defenders of Islamic civilization. And want to eradicate anything they see as the enemy of Islam and any Muslim they perceive as compromising with the West. Mm-mm. ISIS's beef with Mecca seems to be that Muslims have lost touch with the true meaning of the faith, lost all the touch. All these Muslims, they're not chopping heads off. No, they've lost touch with what it means to be a Muslim, so... we've got to chop their head off. This is how these people think. One of ISIS militants said on a social network, I don't know what it was, probably Twitter, sent a tweet. I mean, even the jihads are sending stupid tweets. Enough of the tweets. I hate that stupid Twitter. Oh, I mean, just what a just a freaking waste of time. I don't get it. I don't care. Screw it. But here it is. Here's their tweet. By Allah's leave, our Sheikh al-Baghdadi, lead Mecca stone for those who worship pilgrims, will kill you and God. I will tear down the Kaaba, the place of worship. There's another tweet. People are going to Mecca to touch the stones, not for God. I swear to God, if you conquer Saudi Arabia as we worship, none but Allah will demolish the Kaaba. Well, these people are out of their frickin' minds. The group has also destroyed Sunni mosques in the northern province. Scores and scores of Christian churches in Syria. I don't think there's a Christian church in Syria left. This is what I was talking about. Early 10th century, the extremist Shia group, known as the Qarmatis, I guess, I don't know. Qarmatis, Qarmatis, I guess, I don't know. Well, they raided Mecca, burned the Kaaba, and carried off the famous Black Stone. Carl W. Ernest, a religious studies professor at the University of North Carolina, said, they believed that other Muslims would realize the folly of the pilgrimage. But when people kept coming to Mecca anyway, well, the Qarmatis finally parted with the Black Stone for an immense ransom. But if ISIS actually tried to destroy the Kaaba, they would be met with extraordinary opposition. Well, this is what I want. I want them to go there and try to do it. And I want whoever's in charge of Mecca to kill them all. To get this over with. I think the only way to get rid of the jihad groups, I think Muslims are going to have to get rid of the jihad groups. If the world isn't going to come together and wipe these people out, and there's only one way to do it, you got to kill them. I would rather not. I would rather have a civil conversation with them, take their weapons, let them go back to their milk and honey farms, but they're not going to do that. They're going to keep killing until somebody kills them. So, fine, let's kill them and get it over with. But either we have a world coalition that actually aggressively goes after these people and wipes them all out in a huge bombing campaign. I mean, you see one, boom, we got drones in the air, planes in the air, bombs on the ground. I mean, just level the place. Turn that entire goddamn Middle East into a frickin' glass factory. Screw them. I'm sick of this crap. I'm sick of talking about them. But either the world gets together and puts an end to this jihad crap, or it's going to take the Muslim community is going to have to come together. They're going to have to put an end to it. They're going to have to be the ones to do the work. I'm sorry, but we might be able to wipe them out, but it's just going to take a matter of time before new jihadi groups pop right back up. So the only way to really end this jihad is to get the Muslims have to do the work. The Muslims have to do it. I'm sorry, Muslims, but you're going to have to get off your ass. You're going to have to turn off the Kim Kardashian show like the Americans do. You're going to have to put down your Cheetos just like the Americans. Turn that television off, get off your ass, and do something. It's going to take the Muslim community to actually get rid of these jihadi groups. And there are a lot, believe it or not, and I have met them. There are Muslims out there that they do not like this jihad crap. Believe it or not, not every Muslim is a jihad. However, the number of jihads, that number is growing bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger every day. That number is going to get to a point we might not be able to get rid of them all. So we got to nip this in the bud. We got to start now. I want to see planes in the air right this very frickin' moment that are heading right over there with a whole bunch of bombs. I want to put an end to this. Do you think for one second that ISIS ain't going to make their way over to America? What, are you kidding me? They're already here. Matter of one phone call away. Yeah, there, Ahmed. Why don't you get your buddies together over there and go bomb this place? One phone call away. That's all it takes. And they're ready to go. But are we? Are we ready to go? No. No. We're not ready to fight at all. Now I'm going to close the show here tonight. And I want you to listen. This is the Canadian Prime Minister. Now, I know this cut was over a year ago. I think it was May of 2013, just over a year ago. He's the Prime Minister of Canada. Canada. And now, if you didn't know that he was Canadian, and if you were out of the country for the last 10 years or so, and you came back, and you listened to the speech, and you had no idea who the president was, you would think that this man was president of the United States. But he's from Canada. Well, this morning I edited, you know, some highlights of the speech. And I want you to listen to how a real leader sounds. This is what real leaders do. Our president, no, he would never make a speech like this. This is a speech that Obama needs to make right now. This is the speech right here, right now. And I want to thank everybody for listening here tonight and everybody on their smartphones. Iggy Mom, how you doing? Everybody's going to download later. But I want you to listen. This is the speech right here that Obama should make right this very moment. Get on primetime television. You can do it, Mr. Obama. You got a magic pen. You got a phone. You can do this. This is the speech that our president should be making, and we will see you back here tomorrow night at 8. Goodbye, everybody.
But when Israel, the only country in the world whose very existence is under attack, is consistently and conspicuously singled out for condemnation, I believe we are morally obligated to take a stand. Demonization, double standards, delegitimization. The three Ds, it is a responsibility of us all, stand up to them. And I know, by the way, because I have the bruises to show for it, that whether it is at the United Nations or any other international forum, the easiest thing to do is simply to just get along and go along with this anti-Israeli rhetoric, to pretend it is just about being even-handed, and to excuse oneself with the label of honest broker. There are, after all, a lot more votes, a lot more, in being anti-Israeli than in taking a stand. But as long as I am Prime Minister, whether it is at the United Nations, the Francophonie, or anywhere else, Canada will take that stand, whatever the cost. And friends, I say this not just because it is the right thing to do, but because history shows us, and the ideology of the anti-Israeli mob tells us all too well if we listen to it, that those who threaten the existence of the Jewish people are a threat to all of us. Earlier, I noted the paradox of freedom. It is freedom that makes us human. Whether it leads to heroism or depravity depends on how we use it. We are free citizens, but also the elected representatives of free peoples. We have a solemn duty to defend the vulnerable, to challenge the aggressor, to protect and promote human rights, human dignity, at home and abroad. None of us really knows whether we would choose to do good in the extreme circumstances of the righteous. But we do know that there are those today who would choose to do evil if so permitted. Thus, we must use our freedom to confront them and their anti-Semitism at every turn. As I said on the 60th anniversary of the founding of the State of Israel, Israel appeared as a light in a world emerging from a deep darkness. Against all odds, that light has not been extinguished. It burns bright, upheld by the universal principles of all civilized nations: freedom, democracy, and justice. By working together more closely in the family of civilized nations, we affirm and strengthen those principles, and we declare our faith in humanity's future in the power of good over evil.